Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show.
Bulls basketball tonight on NBC Sports Chicago. They're back home to take on the Nuggets. Bulls pregame live tips off our coverage. Bottom of the hour, the Neil and Stacy with the call at 7. Ryan Pace has added plenty of toys for Mitch Trubisky to play with. Could another former Jags wide receiver be on his way to Hallis Hall? Speaking of receivers, they could have a new catch rule to work with in 2018, but will the NFL still drop the ball? Lack of a police escort and a lost bus driver. That couldn't keep Loyola from the Sweet 16. Can they get two more wins to reach the Final Four? And could the Ramblers become a mid-major power if Porter Moser stays in Rogers Park? Welcome into Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Let's meet the panel for today's show. Patrick Finley, Ben Finfer, and Chris Emma all here. Let's get right to it. The offensive overhaul at Hallis Hall continues. The Bears putting more weapons around their star quarterback, Mitch Trubisky. At least they hope so. Allen Robinson wants his old Jaguars teammate Allen Hurns in Chicago, so much so that he told Bears fans to blow up Hearn's Instagram mentions. What do you think about this move? I know Hearns today was actually in Dallas talking to the Cowboys. He was supposed to go to the Jets. The snowstorm stopped that, but he has responded to some of the mentions with eyeballs, if that means anything.
It means a lot.
I don't know what that means, but he did the eyeball emoji, so that's got to be worth
something.
Luke,
there's nothing more serious than the eyeball.
That's what I say.
You don't mess around with that thing.
What do you think about Hearns?
I think he'd be okay. I think he's going to get more money from somewhere else. And I don't know why he would want to come play here for less, if that makes sense. Obviously, having Allen Robinson gives him a comfort level. Having Matt Nagy might be pretty interesting. But I'm not sure that the Bears' interest in him is equal to Allen Robinson's interest in him. This is also why you don't let your players sign their friends, because you know it's a different conversation. I think the Bears still need another receiver. And
that's why there has to be at least interest.
Yes,
you
yes.
have to kick the tires on him, because you have to take anybody that might have talent offensively at this
right,
point.
Right, but regardless of what the Graham tells us, I mean, if this guy's making trips to two other teams to start, I think that makes it the Cowboys and the Jets to lose. If he was really digging this Chicago thing, he would have flown up here.
That's probably true, but it doesn't mean they still don't have a shot.
Well, doesn't it depend, too, on what happens with Cameron Meredith? If he
sure.
comes back, if the Bears match whatever offer he gets, where would Allen Hurns really fit in? I mean, you'd love to have as many great receivers on your roster as possible, but you just can't dedicate that much money to it. Plus, you assume that they're going to draft somebody next month.
Right. All things equal, let's say the cash was equal on the two guys. Who would you rather have?
I like Meredith. I think Hearns obviously has a better resume. I don't think there's any question about
and
that.
And not coming off.
Yeah.
But they didn't want him because he thought he was going to be traded at the end of last season.
He did. And then they asked him to take a pay cut. And unsurprisingly, he said, no, I don't want to do that. He thought that they would let him go before free agency began, and they didn't. So you're always curious when a team chooses to put their outgoing player in a tough spot. I think Meredith could be really good for them. Remember, with this offer sheet he's got to get from whether it's the Colts or the Ravens, he's got to not only get it, he's got to accept it. And then the Bears have got 5 days. I'm not sure any of those things are guarantees. And if you're Cam, I don't know if you wouldn't rather come back here for your year and then worry about everything next offseason once you've been healthy.
Well, Cam wants to be back here. I mean, he's from the area. He loves being a part of the Bears. I just don't know if the Bears are going to match whatever offers put out there. You know, they gave him the original round tender, but they could have gone a million more second round tender and basically secure that he stays with your team. Look, the Colts have a lot of cap room. They really need another receiver with T.Y. Hilton. I could see him really landing in Indy. And then what do you do if you're the Bears? You look to Allen Hurns. I think he's going to get paid a lot more money somewhere else, or the Bears back out of that one too. Then you look to the draft, and it's a good class. When you look toward day two into early day three, you find some good receivers there that could be that complement to an Allen Robinson and Taylor Gabriel. Maybe you're putting more responsible on Gabriel's plate in turn by drafting a guy late in day two or early in day three. But Ryan Pace and, you know, their scouting team, they've been looking toward the combine. They've checked out a lot of these receivers. They've done their research, so they're prepared for that possibility that Meredith does leave and they miss out on this open market altogether. I think they're in good shape if they look toward the draft.
I think they should keep Meredith. I hope they do.
Yeah,
if it's
right.
between those two guys, Hurns and Meredith, I think Meredith is more versatile wide receiver. Yes, you have the injury concern, but He's young enough to where you could hope he comes back fine with that. And I still would like to see them draft a guy on top of that. So I like the way their core looks with Meredith being right there at the number two.
You know, I want one of those two guys, and I want a draft.
Exactly. Right.
Sure. I want numbers right
sure.
now.
Sure. Yes. And, you know, I mean, we've talked all offseason about how the Bears can't rely on Kevin White and they can't rely on Cam Meredith. Not that they need to throw him out with the bathwater, but just when you're building a roster, you can't presume that they're going to be healthy. Now they might actually be put to that test if Meredith gets an offer from somebody else.
So there is a new catch rule. The NFL Competition Committee has revised the catch rule. The proposal will be voted on by the owners next week. Here's the rule. Number one, control. Number two, 2 feet down or another part of the body. Three, a football move such as a third step, reaching or extending to the line to gain or the ability to perform such an act. Oh, this helped. This doesn't help me at all. I hadn't read that before.
You know what?
That last sentence just goes in and ignore everything else.
You know what they're also changing is if the ball moves a little bit after you fall, that it's an incomplete pass. Now they're going to say that's okay, which is that's been the biggest problem with the rule is too often you see the guy caught the ball, but they'll look at a replay and say, oh, but it moved there an inch. That's incomplete. That part of it, at least, it seems like they're getting rid of.
You know what's really the problem? And I say this as someone who works in TV. Super slow motion has caused this. Mm-hmm. Because if you just watch at regular speed with your eyeballs, even on a instant replay, you're watching it the way it really should be interpreted.
Should they go back to the Zapruder film type replay? Would that be better for the catch rule?
I just don't think you need to slow it down by 1/1000th of a second to see if it's right. Because nobody can really tell what's happening in that time frame. I want to see it. Full speed.
The rule should be, if it looks like a catch, it's a catch.
Right.
It should be that simple. We all know what a catch looks like.
But I don't care if they go back and watch this three times, as long as it's in full speed. I don't need to see it. And even that slow-mo is okay. It's the ones that are so slow that you're watching every single frame of video.
Well, and
you know,
baseball's turning into that too with stolen bases, with tag plays.
Yeah.
Around
second base.
Yeah, it drives me crazy. I think that we're going to see a lot more fumbles, and I think that will be a lot of fun because, you know, if you've got the ball and the ball comes out, it's no longer, you know, complete or incomplete. It's somebody go jump on that football, and that'll be good. You know, you said it. The NFL's a TV show, and this was bad TV. Sitting there and spending multiple minutes, you know, parsing, you know, at what point the ball started to move. I think it's in the league's best interest, not only, you know, for the game, but just aesthetically. Just to simplify it and at least get these replays over and done with, and we can all move on with our day.
They're going the right way, and that's progress. The worst nightmare came in the Super Bowl, fourth quarter, game on the line, and they could have had a travesty with that rule there. Everything almost came back against them. I thought it was an incomplete pass just based on the rules. You know, they're going the right way. I think they're trending the right direction. They're going for something more fan-friendly, something that makes sense. I mean, it was so bad last year, and that came from years and years of compounding these rules and making it more complicated. Then you get Al Riveron trying to make sense of it all. It was a disaster. I think they're going the right direction with this. A little bit more clarity and a little bit more friendliness. They're going the right way.
The progress is they're going towards more catches instead of more incompletions. I'm cool with
that. They want it so that if you're a fan watching the game, you don't have to go through the checklist after every what looks to be a catch. Like, oh, it was a touchdown, but first, did he get his 2 feet in? Okay, yes, he did. Did he get that? He didn't move at all. He still has the ball in his hands. That's just boring. And we all know what a catch looks like. We've been watching this game long enough to be able to figure it out without the replay.
When you play catch in the backyard, you know, when you were a kid or even now as a big kid, you know, you catch, you get the 2 feet down as you're going into the bushes or whatever. And I mean that's what we hopefully not too often.
Don't do that.
But I mean that's one of the things that we all grew up doing. You knew you needed 2 feet, two hands on it. It's a catch.
Finley, my playing days are over. Long over.
I'm just glad to have the term football move back in my life. I missed that. It's been a few years.
All right. There is no playoff hockey at the United Center this season. The Blackhawks were officially eliminated last night. So now comes an offseason of change. But how much change will actually happen? We'll talk about that and Loyola when we come back.
Can't get enough of your Blackhawks? Tune in every single game day to Blackhawks pregame and flip back after the action for postgame live all season long, all 82 games, only on NBC Sports Chicago.
Yeah, it sucks, and it's kind of embarrassing. And it's hard. You play to make the playoffs, so not making it is is definitely a failure.
I think if anything, it's kind of humbled a lot of us in here, and could be a good thing. You know, come back with a little bit more of an edge next season.
With their loss last night to the Avs, the Blackhawks have officially been eliminated from playoff contention for the first time since the 2007-2008 season. So now comes an offseason of change. That leads us to our Ankin Law Sports Talk Live poll question. Go to NBCSportsChicago.com/vote. Where do the Blackhawks need to improve the most this offseason? Is it forward? Is it defenseman? Is it goaltender? Is it coaching? Or is it the front office? Welcome back to Sports Talk Live. So what do you think, guys? Where would you vote on that list?
Defense, I would vote. I mean, they could use help with forwards and scoring as well, but I think the biggest need is on defense. Goaltending, if Crawford's back, then they don't need help there. I hope they don't make any change with the head coach. I still think Joel Quenneville is one of the best in the business, and it was hard to blame him. I'm not saying he was perfect this year. He had his issues too, but that was not the problem this year. They need to upgrade that blue line this offseason.
I do think, you know, one of the reasons that you see hockey coaches come and go so often is that a different voice really does matter in hockey, maybe more so than baseball, maybe more so than basketball. But, I mean, Quenneville, what, he's been here 10 years? The next longest tenured coach in the NHL has been at their place for less than five? That is unbelievable. But it makes you wonder, is there a value to a new voice? I personally wouldn't fire him or, you know, or chase him out of town. But I think you could make an argument that it's something they could consider.
I wouldn't rush him out of town either. He's the second winningest coach in hockey history. So far, 69-70% saying defenseman too. And they have a lot of guys actually under contract now for next year. So that makes it even more interesting. If that's where they're going to move guys around, what do you do with some of the contracts?
Look, my vote's the front office. I mean, Stan Bowman had a really bad offseason last year, and it's been proven now as his team has struggled. They didn't see the regression coming of some of these players. You know, the forwards, the defensemen that we're talking about. Yeah, that's right. That you can vote for that as well, but Stan Bowman did not do a good enough job of building around this team. I don't think Joel Quenneville became a bad coach overnight, and I don't think his voice needs to leave. I mean, it's the same voice that's been there for three Stanley Cup championships. They need to have a better offseason, build around this core the right way, and also recognize what they have as a regressing team of veterans that have fallen off the earth here. I mean, you know, they're slower, they're not scoring the same way, their resilience is gone. This is an organization that's getting past its prime, and the front office needs to realize that and build around that.
All right, we're going to turn our attention to basketball quickly as we move along. Loyola, did you see what happened to them today? They go to have their practice in Atlanta. The bus driver gets lost, they have no police escort, and they're late to practice. That's not a great start when you're trying to win in the Sweet 16.
Why take Uber?
Yeah, you should Uber.
Just not driverless.
Never.
No, oh, no. Too soon. I had something like that happen to me. At the Super Bowl, we had a bus driver hit a stop sign. That was pretty exciting.
Jeez.
And really hard to do. It's a cute story, and it makes for a great lead to everybody's stories. About Loyola, and I'm sure somebody can lump it into some sort of no respect thing that they've got going on, but this is what it should be. This is really fun, and regardless of what happens today on a bus, tomorrow against Nevada, I mean, they have a real puncher's chance, and that would have been insane to think even, you know, 5 days ago.
I think it's a 2-point line right now in Vegas, isn't it?
Look, of course they have a chance.
Yeah.
We know that. Now, you know, Nevada's a pretty good story themselves. They've had two big comebacks so far in this tournament. But Loyola is right now as good as anybody else I've seen out there. And in this tournament, I don't know how you can doubt any team. I mean, a 16-1. So really everything is on the table at this point.
You know what's fun about it, though, is we don't talk a lot about college basketball because the teams haven't been good. And then last year, Northwestern had their run, and people got excited about Northwestern. Now Loyola's made a run, and people still like college basketball in Chicago. You just need to have a team that wins.
Yeah, it's not a great college basketball town. It's a great high school basketball town. It's a great NBA town. But there's something in the middle that gets lost. You know, it's probably because U of I has been down, honestly.
All of them. Yeah. I mean, the entire state went like 5 years without having any teams in the tournament.
So I don't know. Bradley was probably pretty good. Can we count them?
They weren't even that good. You know, this year,
it
finally.
It has to be DePaul. It has to be Loyola. It has to be Northwestern. It has to be the Illini. At least those four teams.
And the fact that Loyola is even in the conversation is a testament to what they've been able to do.
They wouldn't have been 5 years ago.
If UIC is ever good, that would be exciting.
They would have been 1 month ago.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm sure that I'm sure everybody who's watching them now in Chicago, they didn't tune in for the to the Missouri Valley Conference semifinal on a Friday night at 7 o'clock. This is all new fans, and it's great because I think in Chicago, given what the Bulls have done, what the Blackhawks have done, what the Bears have done, my God, people were actually like thirsty for a winner, and they're getting one out of Loyola. It's unbelievable.
Let's hope they do it tomorrow. All right, the Sox rotation is set. Carson Fulmer is in it, but how long will he stay? And it looks like the Cubs have found their primary leadoff hitter. How will Ian Happ do at the top of the order? That plus Yu Darvish's final start of the spring and ESPN's newest NFL analyst, all coming up next on Sports Talk Live.
So, you call yourself a Blackhawks fan? NBC Sports Chicago wants to hear from you. Visit NBCSportsChicago.com/BlackhawksAF and tell us what makes you the biggest Hawks fan. You could win the chance to be recognized as our Blackhawks authentic fan of the game, including tickets to a game, a behind-the-scenes tour, be shown on TV, and much more. NBCSportsChicago.com/BlackhawksAF.
I think, you know, when you're out there playing quarterback, it looks a little different than when you're up in a press box having hot dogs. We had the coolness of the hot dog-laden press box, we might have gone there.
Well, guess where John Fox is going? Woo. Patrick Bailey calls him out. The hot dog-laden press box. Welcome to the media, John Fox. Oh, with open arms, we welcome you.
The guy's total energy, isn't he?
Mr. Energy. What do you think, guys? You cover him. I don't ever talk to him.
I think that he's the mayor of the NFL. I don't think he's going to say anything bad about anybody. Does that mean that he can't go on TV and tell funny stories? Well, he'd probably be pretty good at that. I'm not sure you're going to get hard-hitting analysis out of John. This is a guy who, if you asked him directly about his own depth chart, would answer a different question and move on.
But he's got nothing to hide now. Look, the guy is an expert. I mean, he does know football. He's been a head coach three times. If he were willing to actually open up, he probably could offer up a lot of good analysis.
Cutler,
we just don't know if he can.
Cutler or Fox, who would be better at it?
Oh, Cutler by far, because Cutler doesn't care what anybody thinks. Unless John was just telling the Gidget the Monkey story, I've got Fox and Gidget the Monkey high above anybody else on that list.
I think Fox should be the guy that when they have the challenge flag go out, he comes on the screen in the corner and says whether or not it was a good idea.
Now that's the role. That's got to be the role.
That's the role. I mean, he's the guy. He's the Mike Ferrer guy.
John, how does this one work?
Yeah. Just go the other way.
That's what I would have him do. Quickly, baseball. Ian Happ now has been great at the leadoff spot. The Cubs were hoping somebody would take the reins. It looks like he's the guy. Is he the guy for the whole season, or is this, you know, we'll see how he does for 2 weeks.
Well, it'll depend. If he performs well for the first few weeks, maybe first month, then he will be the guy. I mean, he's going to be the first one to get a shot at it, but they have some other options as well. I still don't think he's going to be in the lineup every single day. If you just start to look at the guys, I'm not sure how he can fit in there every day. But, yeah, he's going to get the first shot at it. Why not? He's been great this spring.
So where does that leave the rest of the Cubs outfielders?
I think it might leave Almora as a defensive replacement. And if he comes in every seventh inning that the Cubs have a lead so Kyle Schwarber doesn't have to worry about catching a baseball, I think that's probably a good thing for them.
If Almora can adjust his lefty-righty splits, get a little bit more even, because he gets on base. I mean, we've seen him get on base at good streak. So if he can become a more consistent player, he can fit well into that leadoff role as well. I like the fact that Happ is doing it now. He's a guy who adds that power element. He can be on first or second base when he's a table setter for Brian and Rizzo.
Play second base too, so he can be in the lineup every day in a different position.
Real quickly, Carson Fulmer's in the rotation. Anybody surprised?
No. Let's see what he can do. I think the upside is there if he can figure it out. If not, you find out pretty quickly.
Not surprised because he's young. You want to give him a chance.
Give him a shot. Why not?
He's going to get it. That's a wrap for Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Bulls pregame live is next. Mark, Will, Kendall, and Stacy. Have a great evening. We'll see you back here tomorrow for more Sports Talk Live.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Remember to watch the show weekdays on CSN and visit csnchicago.com for previous episodes of the podcast and all the latest sports news and highlights.